Pastor Cardenas is going to come and introduce Brother Ward, tell you a little bit about him, and then Brother Ward, come on up. We'll get you ready to preach here in just a minute. All right, Brother Cardenas. Thank
you. Well, you know Brother Ward for a couple months, and so glad he's here. He's in Juarez, Mexico, one of the probably toughest and worst places when it comes to violence and drug cartels and all that stuff. And I'm so glad that he's obeying God, being in that place for 9 years now. So I believe God is going to use him and keep using him. He has a big vision for plans to do in Mexico for have a home for kids. Because of the violence, a lot of kids have been displaced. I believe there's like 30,000 kids that have been displaced. So they need places where to put them. And one of his plans and visions is to open a home for them and minister to them and plant churches and all the good stuff. So I'm so excited for you, brother. Thank you for being with us. And let's just pay attention to what God has for us through Brother Ward, okay? All right. Come on, brother.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Cox. Amen. Amen. It's a tremendous blessing to be here with you guys. Pastor or Brother Norton was saying last night that he hadn't preached, I think, in a week, right, brother, in Spanish, and I haven't preached in about 4 or 5 months, it seems like, in English. Amen. So it's just the opposite. If I say something in Spanish, I hope you'll forgive me, those who understand. Amen. If you don't, we'll just we're speaking in tongues. Amen. I'm just joking. We have a Christian school, have had a Christian school for the last 5 years in Juarez. The Lord put it on my heart many years ago to have a Christian school. It's a tremendous blessing to have a Christian school. We don't have quite as many as you all have here. Like we've had somewhere close to 20. But it's a tremendous blessing to have a Christian school. Amen? A place where you don't have to worry about all the things that go on in the public schools and sometimes even in the private schools. It's a nice place to have, a place that's like an oasis. Amen? Where you can hear preaching and teaching of God's Word, where you can study, where you can prepare for what the Lord has for you, where you don't have to worry about the things that are going on outside. Amen? Tremendous blessing. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15:22, please. 1 Samuel 15:22. 1 Samuel 15:22. We're going to read one verse here. We're going to talk about today Christian character. In our Christian school, this is mainly what we focus on. We do have preaching from time to time on different subjects, but I like to teach about Christian character in our Christian school. I use a course called Character Journal. I believe they have 39 character traits. If I remember correctly, we've, in our Christian school, been through about 20 or 25. What we're going to talk about today in Christian character is obedience. Amen. I think we all can be better at obedience. All of us. Even adults can be better at obedience. So we're going to look at the Christian character of obedience. I hope that it's a blessing to you and that you receive something from it. We're going to read 1 Samuel 15:22. Just one verse. Follow me, Lord, please, with as we read the verse. 1 Samuel 15:22. The Bible says, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. Thank you for this church, for Pastor Angela, Lord. Thank you for Pastor Cardenas as well in the Spanish ministry. Bless, Father God, both churches for your honor and your glory, God. We pray that you'd continue to bless the missions conference, Lord. Bless every missionary here and their family, Lord. Use them for your honor and your glory, God, to see many souls saved, many lives changed, Lord. God, we ask you to bless this service for your honor and your glory, that you would meet with us, that you would help us, that you would open up our understanding, Father God, so that we can be more obedient as Christians. We love you. We thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel 15:22 says something, in my opinion, very, very, very great. The Bible says again, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in the obeying of the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." This is a verse that we have memorized as a family in our devotional time as a family. Amen. in our devotional time, we have memorized this verse. It's a tremendous verse because the Bible principle here is this, is that God, He delights greater in that we obey than we go around asking for forgiveness. Amen? Because that was the purpose of the sacrifices, to cover their sin. And so the Lord, He would prefer and He has greater delight if we simply obey rather than ask for forgiveness. There's a saying in Spanish, the brothers who speak Spanish know this. There's a saying in Spanish where they say in Spanish, es mejor hacerlo y luego pedir perdón. It means this. It's better to go ahead and do it and then ask for forgiveness or say you're sorry. I've preached against that and I've taught against that because that is not a Bible principle, my friend. We are here as Christians to obey the Lord, to follow the Lord, to love the Lord, to obey our authorities. Not to do first and then ask for forgiveness. That's not a Bible principle. Amen? So the Bible teaches us that the Bible principle in obedience says that God has greater delight, or that it is better for us to obey the voice of the Lord the first time rather than ask for forgiveness later. That is a Bible principle. Let me give you some definitions about the word obedience, okay? Some definitions. Number one, it means submission to the restraint or commands of authority. To submit ourselves, to say, okay, I'll do it. Amen? When someone gives us a command, whether it's our mother, our father, whether it's the pastor, whether it's a policeman, whether it's our teacher, amen? I'm a teacher myself. And I know all about how it is to have students. I've had upwards to 34 in my classroom. I taught four different schools in Juarez because we didn't have the necessary support, so I worked. And I taught English, and I've had upwards to 34, 40 kids in my classroom. I know what it is to be in a classroom and to see their, you know, the obedience and the disobedience. Amen? Amen. So I speak of what I know. So the word is submission to the restraint or commands of authority. Number two, freedom to be creative under the protective or protection of divinely appointed authority. So the definition is that when we obey, there's freedom. Amen. There's freedom. Because when we obey, we have a clear conscience. Is that not right? When we obey our authority, we have a clear conscience towards them. Is that not correct? And so we're free to do whatever it is that they've commanded us to do. We're able to do what we need to do. When we disobey, the Bible says that we don't have a clear conscience. Amen. We don't have a clear conscience towards God, towards our authority. And so it's freedom to be creative under the protection of divinely appointed authority. Number three, it means learning the importance of limitations and the meaning of the word no. Amen? The word no. Nowadays, it's sad. You go into the store and you see the kids there and they start, you know, Mom, can I have this? No. And then they don't stop with that. It's I want it and I want it and please and temper tantrums and throwing themselves on the floor and moaning and groaning and going on. Parents today don't teach their kids that no means no. When I was a kid, if my parents told us no and we kept going, there was something that came afterwards that hurt. I tell you, my friend, nowadays they turn you in, or they try to. That's not the way it should be, my friend. When we're told no, it means no. It also means responding to the wishes of God, the parents and others in authority. That when we receive no, it means no, whether it's from God, whether it's from our parents, whether it's from our pastor, whether it's from our teacher, whether it's from our someone else that's in authority, a policeman, that we have to learn that there are limitations between yes and no. There are limitations. And when someone says no, it means no. Amen? Amen. That's what it means. I like Webster's 1828 dictionary. I don't know if you've used it before. Tremendous dictionary. First dictionary of the United States. Published in 1828 by Noah Webster, who was a Christian. The Bible goes along with the King James, gives definitions of the words in the King James. Tremendous dictionary. Webster's 1828 says this, that it means compliance with a command, prohibition or known law and rule of duty prescribed. The performance of what is required and enjoined by authority or the abstaining from what is prohibited. in compliance with the command or prohibition. When you look around in the United States, it's amazing for me to see that there's so much civil disobedience. What is it called? Civil disobedience. Amen? It's tremendous. It's something that's incomprehensible nowadays to see all the things that are going on. People, you know, burning cars and people doing this and people doing that. People acting crazy and doing things that maybe they wouldn't normally do because they can't accept no. And so we have a world now that has no limitations, that has no right or wrong. Amen? Don't believe what they teach you outside. There are right and wrong. There is black and white. There are limitations. There are yes and no. And we have to know that there are limitations and that we need to be obedient. Amen. Amen. There are limitations. The first school I worked in Oklahoma City was a preschool and a kindergarten. I worked as the subdirector of the school, handling the finances and the enrollment and such things in the school. And I remember we had a director of the school. She was a self-proclaimed atheist. And at the time, I was in Bible college. And I remember that we were talking about the Bible and such things. And I remember her saying to me that there are no more absolutes. There's absolutely no absolutes. There's nothing that's absolutely right, and there's nothing that's absolutely wrong. I remember her telling me that. She also told me that she only believed the words of Christ. And I thought, uh-oh, there you go. So I started telling her the words of Christ. You don't ask a Bible college student that or say that to him and not expect a preaching. Amen? So I gave it to her. Brother Sam Davidson always said, fling her down. So that's what I did. Fling her down. That's a term from Oklahoma. Fling her down. So that's what I did. She didn't last very long, about 2 months, and she quit. But the point is the attitude and the spirit of that there are no more absolute is nothing but it's absolute trash. It is not correct. There are absolutes. We have the absolute Word of God, amen, who teaches us that teaches us right and wrong, correct and incorrect. And so the Bible teaches us here, it says here in 1 Samuel 15:22, and all throughout the Word of God, that there is a character trait for Christians, and it's called obedience. Amen. I'd like to give you a test, if you'd let me, for just a few minutes. Just think about it. Don't raise your hand. Don't make any type of movement or anything like that. But just think about it quickly, and it'll go quickly. Okay? 10 things, just real fast, to check and see if we are as obedient as we should be. Okay? We're going to see some verses along the way as well. So just be patient with me. Number one, do you accept no as the final answer? Think about that. Do you accept no as the final answer? When your parents tell you no, when your parents say, no, you're not going to get a cell phone. Amen? It means no. I told my kids there's no reason for you to have a cell phone. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but there's no reason for it. It's a tool. It's a tool that we use to call one person or another person or to maybe use the GPS or the Google Maps or something like that. It's a tool, my friend. It's not for Facebook and messing around and playing video games and such. It's a tool. So I told them, when I see the necessity, when I see that the time comes that you need a phone, we'll see. Amen? And then there are the phones that only have 3 numbers. I'm serious. There are phones out there that they only allow 3 numbers, or you can block it, don't have no internet, stuff like that. I mean, it's a tool. And no means no. Amen? The man who wrote the lesson here, who wrote this lesson for Character Journal, said this. And it's correct that there are no appeals, that there is to be no fighting, that there is to be no arguing when it's no. Amen? Complaining, griping, appealing, but, no. Amen. That shows us as authorities, whether it's us with our children, whether it's the pastor with the church, whether it's in your job. Can you imagine being in a job situation and what do you call them in English? The person in charge, the supervisor, and he says, I need you to do this or I need you to do that, but I can't do it, but this, but that, but this, but that. You're going to be fired pretty soon. Amen. Because they're looking for someone who's going to say, yes, sir, and get after it. And do your best. So, no appeals, no fighting, no arguing. Do you accept no as the final answer? Think about that, number one. Number two, when given a command, do you act immediately? When given a command, do you act immediately? That's something that maybe they taught 50 years ago, 60 years ago. I don't know. Maybe the pastor in his time has heard things like that, but it's not taught much nowadays. When given a command, do you act immediately? Most of us nowadays like to do what we call drag our feet. Amen? Let me get there, but I'll get there when I want to get there, when I decide to get there. However I want to do it, whenever I want to do it, I'll do it whenever I feel like it. Amen? That's the attitude today. I'll do it whenever I feel like it. I've talked to people in Mexico, because that's one of our pet peeves. Sometimes I think, Pastor Cardenas was telling us, he said, hey, when you get there today, amen, for the chapel, not the Mexican time, but the American time. Amen? It's really funny, because for many years, I said the same thing to the hermanos, to the brethren over there in Mexico. Brother, when we start at 10 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock. Amen? When it's 11 o'clock, it's 11 o'clock. Amen? We're in Mexico City with missionary Mark Williams. Years ago, we took a trip with Southwest to help him with the church that he had started in outside of the city in a place called Chalco. And we were working with him. And I remember that when we came back, we had services in the city. And I think they started at about 11 o'clock or something like that. I don't remember. And so about 11:45, people were still coming in and still coming in. And as a young guy, as a young fellow, maybe 21, 22, something like that, I asked him, brother, what time were we supposed to start? 11 o'clock, brother. Well, why didn't we start at 11 o'clock? Well, patience, brother. Got to have patience. Amen. Little by little. Patience. But the fact is when we're given a command, we're supposed to act immediately. Amen. No delays. No putting it off. No, I'll do it later. No waiting. In our school, the kids say this. You say, I need you to do this, and I need you to do it now. And they'll say, I boy. It means, I'll get to it. I'll get to it. Just wait. I'll be there in a minute. And I've had to tell them, and I've had to preach to them, I've had to pray for them and explain to them, there is no I boy. It's now. I ask you to do it now. Now means now. Not 5 minutes from now, not 10 minutes from now, not 30 minutes from now. It's now. Amen. You got to do it now. Number three, do you respond cheerfully to a request or command? The Bible says, I didn't write down the verse, and I'm sorry, but in the book of Psalms, the Bible talks about having a good, sweet spirit and a good, sweet attitude. So, do you respond cheerfully to a request or to a command? Think about that. Do we frown? Do we murmur or groan? This is something that irritates me tremendously, the rolling of the eyes. I've had to deal with my share of students who, you give them a command, you tell them to do something, you ask them to do something, you explain something to them, and there go the eyes. That is a lack of respect. There is to be no frowning, there is to be no murmuring, there is to be no groaning, there is to be no, oh man, or rolling of the eyes. Colossians 3.23, please. Colossians 3.23. Colossians 3.23. We haven't seen a lot of verses. We're going to see a few now. Colossians 3.23, please. Colossians 3.23. Colossians 3.23 says this. I'm sure you know it by heart. It says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Amen. Do it heartily unto the Lord with all of your heart, with joy, in Spanish, con gozo, with all of your heart. The Bible says that we are to be doing the things of God for God as unto the Lord and not unto men, my friend. So, do you respond cheerfully to a request or a command? Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. The Bible says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service. Amen? Not with eye service. As men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the what? From the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. The Word of God says clearly that we are to do things, but we are to do things with a cheerfulness, with all of our heart, with a good attitude, with a good spirit, not rolling of the eyes, groaning and complaining and murmuring and frowning. We go over this over and over and over with our own children. When given a command, smile. Amen? Smile. Not with a bad attitude, not with a bad spirit, not with a, man, I don't want to do it, I don't like that. It doesn't matter. Amen? Because God is seeing, He is all-knowing, He is all-seeing, He understands, He knows everything, and He's looking upon us, He sees whether we have a good, sweet spirit or we have a bad attitude. He's watching us at all times. My friend, that is sin. It is sin, my friend. Having a bad attitude and a bad spirit. No frowning, no murmuring, no groaning, no rolling of the eyes. Number four, do you do your best to obey and overcome obstacles? In other words, no negative attitude. No negative thinking. I mean, we're not talking about The Power of Positive Thinking that came out 15 or 20 years ago, the book. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, though, having a positive attitude, a positive spirit towards God and the things of God, towards being obedient and towards doing what we're commanded or what is requested of us, but with no negative attitude and no negative spirit. Amen. Amen. Many times we are negative. Many times we have negative thoughts or a negative attitude. Number five, do you obey in the little things as well as the big things? My son asks me frequently, and I don't mean to embarrass him by any means, but the truth is the truth. Amen? I like the truth. And so the truth is this, is that many times he's asked me, Dad, when am I going to be able to do more things? Praise the Lord. I like that attitude. When am I going to be able to do more? We have a radio station online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're going to start we're going to keep going with our Christian school. We're also going to have an orphanage. And so we have a lot of things that we are going to do, but we also have a lot of things that we do. And so he's asked me, when can I do more in the ministry? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But this is what I tell him. Obey me in the little things. Do exactly what I ask you to do in the little things. And then when I see that, then you get more. That's how it works. That's how it functions. Brother Sam Davidson told me this when I was called to the full-time ministry. I'm not a crybaby, amen? But Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, so it's all right. I remember sitting down in his office and talking to him and saying to him, the Lord called me to the full-time ministry. And he said to me this. He said, you need to start working here. You need to start soul winning here. Because if you don't here, you never will there. And so, as a young guy, 22, I was thinking, man, I'm going to get to work with the youth. I'm going to get to teach, and I didn't know no better. I'm going to teach an adult class. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Whatever the Lord wants me to do, man, I'm ready to go. First thing he said was, start with the five-year-olds. The five-year-olds. Start with the kindergartners. Teaching Sunday school. Very first thing. Start working with the five-year-olds. Manos. Brethren, I had a class that was probably no bigger than this little area right here, it seemed like. A real small area. Jam-packed with kids. No place to walk. Chair after chair next to each other. But it was a tremendous, tremendous blessing to be able to preach to them and teach them and work with them and see young guys get saved because it was a group of boys. See boys get saved and see them get baptized and go visit them in their homes and see their parents get saved and be able to work with them. And I just remember that because it's a tremendous blessing, my friend. And when you work and you work well with little, then God blesses and He gives you more and He gives you more and He gives you more as He sees that you're faithful. Amen. So, are we faithful with what little we have? Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Amen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're going to Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Luke chapter 16, verse 10, please. Are you there? Amen. I'll get there. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. The Bible says this. It says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." Amen? That is what the Word of God says. That is what Jesus Christ Himself said to us. He said that he that is faithful in that which is the least is faithful also in much. But it says here, "And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much." Let me tell you, my friend, if you're working a job, if you're in the ministry, it doesn't matter. When someone sees that you are faithful with much, you will receive more responsibility. Amen. And more pay. If you're unfaithful with what little you have, then they will see that, God sees that, and you will not be blessed with more. Amen. There are people who say, "I'm going to go start my own business. I'm going to go do this and I'm going to do that. But they're not even faithful with what little they have. How are they going to be faithful being the boss? Amen? I've seen it in my own jobs in the past. If I were just the person in charge, if I were the supervisor, if I was the manager, if I were in charge, we would do this and do that. Yet this person can't show up on time. This person doesn't come back from their break on time. This person stands around instead of working. How in the world are they going to have more when they can't be faithful with little? Amen. Number six, do you do a job well the first time? Or do you have to do it over and over again? Amen. Think about that. Do we do a job well the first time? When our teacher asks us to do our, let's say, math problems, and so we're working on our math problems, and we sometimes make honest mistakes, but do we do well? Are we doing our best? Are we giving our all, or are we just messing around? Are we wasting time? Amen. How are we going to learn to do calculus if we can't first multiply and divide? Amen. There was a couple years ago, there was an article in the newspaper where the professors from the University of Juarez, it's called the UACJ. And the article was that the professors were complaining. They were complaining because they said that the kids coming out of high school could not multiply and divide. How in the world are they going to be engineers if they can't multiply and divide? They can't do calculus. They can't do advanced math. And so they were complaining. Three professors were complaining. And they said, "Here's the problem. The problem is that the university says it's the high school that's not doing their job. The high school says it's the junior high not doing its job. The junior high says it's the elementary school not doing its job. And the elementary school says it's the preschool not doing its job. And the preschool says it's the parents." So, in other words, nobody's faithful in doing their job. Nobody is doing their job well. Are we listening? Everyone else says, and that's the attitude and that's the spirit nowadays. That's what I have a real problem with in the schools is, my friend, in my time, when you got an F, my friend, it was an F. And you stayed in that grade until you passed. Are you listening to me? When I was in high school, I went to public high school. Didn't get saved until I was 21. When I was in high school, I remember I made a mistake, did something I shouldn't have done, which is just this. I left campus without permission. We got caught. My friends and I got caught. The principal of the school, I still remember him screaming at us. I mean screaming at us. He wasn't playing patty cake. He was screaming at us. Big old vein popping out of his head about how he's responsible for us. And if something had happened to us, he would be in trouble. Amen? But I remember him saying to us, "Okay, you're going to get 3 days suspension, and then you're going to have 2 weeks after school detention," and this was right at the end of the school year. And he said, "If you don't come to every day after school detention for 2 hours between, I think, 2:30 and 4:30, if you don't come, you miss one day, you don't graduate. Period." Talk about scared, my friend. I wanted to get out of there. I was done. 18 years old, I'm in high school, I'm finished. Amen. So I made sure and I showed up every day. But the point is when we do a job, we need to do it well the first time. We need to not to be told to do it over and over and over again. Number seven, do you think that a certain command or request is dumb? The person who wrote the message used the word stoop, and I don't like that word, so I'm not going to say it. So, do you think that a certain command or request is dumb? Don't tell me you haven't thought that. I've thought that as a young person. Man, that shit is dumb. Amen? But that's not correct. That is not the right attitude. That is not the right spirit as a Christian. There is to be no mocking, no whining, no bad attitude, as I said before, no bad spirit, no saying things. Man, I just don't understand and I don't want to do it. Amen. The request is dumb. Sometimes we think that. Let me read you this. I've got this. This is the actual lesson. Let me read it for you real fast. Something I thought was very interesting. Talking about this point. Do we think that a certain request, a certain job, a certain command is dumb? The man wrote this. He says, a former Marine recalled the days when he went through boot camp. Amen. That's the training, the initial training. I had two brothers that were in the Army. And so I understand a little bit about it. So boot camp is the initial training when they go into the Marine Corps. It says here he was ordered to dig a hole 6 feet square. And after completing the task, he was told to fill it up again. Then he started another one. Later he learned that the purpose of the job or what he was doing was to teach him to obey without explanation. That his life would depend on it out in the battlefield. He would not always be given the reasons behind a command. But if he failed to obey, his life would be jeopardized as well as the lives of those around him. Amen. So, we're not to have an attitude of, man, I don't like that, that's dumb, I don't understand, I don't comprehend. Sometimes God doesn't give us the answer right away. Amen? Or He doesn't give us an explanation right away. He says, do this, He says, do that, and we learn afterwards. Amen? Amen. Bible principle, my friend. Number 8, do you ever ask one parent, uh-oh, this is not good. Do you ever or have you ever asked one parent after the other said no? Everybody's looking down, Pastor. Everybody's looking down. Have you ever asked one parent after the other said no? That is not a Bible principle, my friend. That is not correct. When we're told no, no means no. Amen? There's to be no scheming. There's to be no withholding of facts. Kids are real good about that. Well, Dad said maybe because of this or maybe because of that. I don't know. Maybe. Uh-huh. Yeah. Nowadays, you're to the point where you got to record everything you say. Amen? Now, what did I say back then? Because I don't remember. Amen? I'm just joking. We don't do that. We don't record what we say. But that's the point. Do you remember what you said? They're good about that. Do you remember what you said August 25th at 10:25 a.m.? No, I don't remember what I did yesterday. Much less what I said 2 weeks ago or a month ago. Amen? So the point is we're not to be asking our parents. If we're going to be good Christians, we're going to be obedient. We're going to do what the Bible says. We're going to follow the Word of God, then we're not going to be going around going, hey, Dad, Mom said this, or going around scheming and making problems or causing problems in our family. Amen? Because it causes problems. It causes problems. So there's to be no mocking, no whining. No scheming and no withholding facts when we're told no. Number 9, we're almost done. Do you put your whole heart into a request or a command? Do you put your whole heart into it? Do you do your best? I was reading just the other day, I forget where it is, I think it's here in Illinois, it may have been in Indiana, I don't remember, but it's becoming more and more popular where in the public schools, they're going to get away from using or having valedictorians and salutatorians because it offends the rest. Illinois, it offends. And I'm like, are we communist? Does everybody have to be treated the same? Hey, I'm telling you, my friend, if I'm lazy and you're not, and you work twice as hard or three times as hard as I do, you deserve it. Amen. Amen. But if I don't want to work hard and I don't want to study and I don't want to do my homework and I want to lay around playing PlayStation or messing around, then I get what I deserve, my friend. We reap what we sow. Bible principle. We reap what we sow. Colossians 3:20. Colossians 3:20, please. The Bible says, Colossians 3:20, good verse says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." The Bible commands us to obey our authorities. The Bible commands us not to argue, not to scheme, not to complain, not to gripe. We are to put our whole heart, our whole desire in everything that we are doing. That is a Bible command. The Bible teaches us, it shows us, that we are to give our whole heart, our whole desire into what we're doing. We read that before. It says here in verse 23, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." So we are to do it as unto the Lord, whether it's our schoolwork, whether it's we're painting a wall, whether it's we're working as a cashier, whether it's we're in the Army or the Navy, whether we're a missionary or a pastor or an evangelist. We are to give our whole heart, we are to give our whole service unto the Lord to do our best. Amen. To do our best. In our school, as you can probably tell, amen, Spanish is not my first language. Amen? Spanish is not my first language. I've learned a lot over the years. As I was telling one brother, I took 2 years in high school. Had I known that I was going to be called to the full-time ministry, I would have paid attention. Amen? I'm just being honest. I would have paid attention. But I took 2 years because that was the requirement in Oklahoma in order to go to college. And so I didn't pay much attention. But had I known I was going to be called to the ministry, amen, looking back, I would have paid more attention. So the fact is that we are to put our whole heart, our whole desire into everything that we do. So if you're here, and I'm going to tell you now, that's the reason why I told you that about myself. If you're learning Spanish, if you're learning French, if you're learning German, I don't know, if you're learning Russian, maybe the Lord later on is going to call you to the full-time ministry and you just don't know yet. Amen? You need to pay attention. You need to work hard. You need to do the best you can. So as Spanish is not my first language, I struggle. And secondly, as it's my responsibility as the director of the school, I'm supposed to know more than they do. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be, I think. Amen. So when it comes time to what we do is we use ACE, and then we don't have much direct instruction or teachers. And so we're supervisors, and we help out. We use other material from Mexico that we use that's for homeschoolers. But the fact is when they have a doubt, when they don't know how to do something, who do they go to? Who has to know? Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. I'm kind of in question about that. Amen? We need to put our whole heart into it. We need to work as hard as we can. Do the best you can. Work as hard as you can in school. Study the best you can. Ask the Lord to help you. That's something that really shocks me is the Bible says, ask. Last time I checked, it says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. You have not because you ask not. And yet we don't ask. Lord, I don't know how to, I don't understand math. Help me with math. Lord, I don't understand science. Help me with science. Lord, I don't know how to do all this work the way I should. I struggle and I have a hard time. But yet we don't ask. We don't ask. Lord, help me. We got a bad attitude. We got a bad spirit. We don't ask. We have a complaining attitude. We have a complaining spirit. We don't ask. Confess our sins first. Amen. But secondly, we don't ask. The Bible says we can ask. So, number 10, to finish. We're going to be finished. Number 10, do you take personal responsibility to obey a request or a command? Do you take personal responsibility for what you do? Do you take personal responsibility for to obey the requests or the commands that you receive? I think almost all of us are pretty good about, hey, 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 it wasn't me, it was him. No, it was her. No, it was them. No, no, I think it was him. Instead of saying, no, I'm sorry, it was me. I did it. Sorry. I apologize. Amen? Policeman pulls you over. I'm sorry, it wasn't me, it was a traffic light. Amen? It was a traffic light. I remember in Juarez, I'll just be truthful. We were running late for church. Going about 10 kilometers, I think, over the speed limit. Transit policeman pulled me over. And I looked at him and you got two options. One, you can come up with an excuse, or two, just tell him the truth. Amen. I just told him, sir, we're late to church. That's the truth. We're running late to church. I was running a little bit over the speed limit. And I apologize for doing it. I think he still gave me a ticket, but praise the Lord. Tell the truth. Amen. Do we take personal responsibility to obey a request or a command? Think about that. Let's go to Romans chapter 13, verse 1. We're going to read a few verses and then we'll be done. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, please. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. You guys have done a real good job paying attention. I appreciate that. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let's read some scripture before we finish. The Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." Amen? The Bible says that we are to obey. Let every soul be subject unto higher powers. Whether it's your parents, whether it's your teachers, whether it's the policeman, whether it's the fireman, whether it's the pastor, whether whomever it may be, the Bible commands us and says that we are to be subject unto higher powers, my friend. The only time we have maybe a small leeway would be as if they told us to maybe hurt somebody or kill somebody or do something that's against the law. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 2. 13 and 14, please. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. The Bible says here, 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 and 14, the Bible says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to king as supreme, or unto governors as, it says, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of" who? Evildoers. "And for the" what? "The praise of them that do well." My friend, I teach and I preach and I've done it over and over again in Mexico, my friend, is that everyone says the same thing. Everybody is corrupt. And maybe that's true, but the Bible says that they are the ambassadors of God. God has ordained authority. He has ordained higher powers, the Bible says, and so that we are to be subject unto higher powers. I say this, you know, instead of complaining about the police, how about you pray for the police, my friend? Have you ever prayed for the mayor? Have you ever prayed for those who are on the city council? Have you ever prayed for the president? Have you ever prayed for the governor? The Bible commands us to pray for those who are in power over us so that we might live a peaceable life. Amen. Obama needs to be saved. Amen. Hillary Clinton needs to be saved. Amen. Trump, I heard that he made a profession of faith. I don't know. I hope he's saved. And if not, he needs to get saved. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Amen. We need to finish. Hebrews 13, 17 says this. "Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they that watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." So the Bible says, specifically talking about pastors, those who have rule over you, those who are in charge of you in a spiritual sense, in the local church, who have to give an account to the Lord for us. The Bible says that if we don't obey them, that it is unprofitable for us. Being disobedient, it's not profitable. It's no good. Amen? Doesn't matter what the kids say. Doesn't matter what others say. Doesn't matter if they say, no, it's okay to disobey. It's all right to smoke marijuana. It's all right to eat or to smoke the mushrooms. It's okay to smoke. It's okay to drink. I'm telling you, my friend, it is unprofitable to disobey. It is unprofitable. And the Bible says we reap what we sow. One more verse and we'll be done. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Maybe you already know it from memory. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Just want to throw this in there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Amen. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. The Bible commands us to obey our authorities, to be obedient, not to argue and fight and question and complain and groan and roll our eyes and have a bad attitude and a bad spirit. The Bible commands us to be obedient, but to do it with a good, sweet spirit and a good, sweet attitude. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. We need to finish. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If the Lord has spoken to you, if there's something that you need to fix, if you need to come to the altar and you need to talk to the Lord and take care of some business, this is the time. This is the moment. This is the time that the Lord has given us to take care of whatever we need to take care of. Don't wait. Don't hesitate.